Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
Take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews in chapter 1 this morning. Hebrews in chapter 1. Did I turn the microphone, lapel mic on? Am I good? Okay. Don't need to fish that out of my pocket and look for it. I'm not good at this kind of stuff, but I'm learning. Hey, it's Mother's Day. Count me in the number that love their mama. I am a mama's boy. I always have been, as long as I can remember. And Mom Rader has been in heaven now for almost a year. I think it was May 30th last year, if I remember right, that she went home to heaven. She raised 5 biological children, adopted 5 more. Her and dad had over 200 foster children over the years. Hundreds of people, maybe even thousands, referred to my mom as Mom Rader. But I'm one of the originals. She is really my mom. And I just know that she's going to be waiting there at the gate. I know she'll be waiting when Dad gets home. I know she'll be waiting there when I get home. I'm the eldest. I'm the oldest of all of the children. And I just pray. I got this, and I hope she doesn't do it for old time's sake. Give me a spit bath. Man, I used to hate those spit baths. That was something about that far short of the electric chair here in this world then. And she did it all of the time, and she stretched your skin, you know, and she'd spit in her hand. And, oh, man, I used to just hate that. Mom, when I get to the gate, If you're there and you try to give me a spit bath, I'm going to run in another direction. I'll do my best I can anyway. So I am a mama's boy, and I can't help it. Life is full of ups and downs. Life is full of disappointments. There's victories. There's defeats. There's great things that happen. And of course, there are disappointments. Sometimes it gets overwhelming. Sometimes the storm is big. Sometimes the water is deep. Sometimes the battle is long. And I'm here to encourage you this morning. And it'll apply to every mom's life, especially. It'll apply to everyone that's a New Testament, born again child of God. You'll understand this. I have a great truth that I want to share with you. And it's simply this: you're not alone. You have a great high priest. You that are born again, born of the Spirit of God, you are not alone in this world. And there are a lot worse things that could happen than this coronavirus that's going on. And some of us know battles that are far greater, and waters that are far deep, and storms that are far bigger. But I would remind everyone here, from the mom that is struggling this morning to that person that isn't a mom, but they're far away from God, from that person that's struggling in life, and right now they're overwhelmed. And I've been told that suicide has just been growing at an alarming rate right now. If you're overwhelmed, I want you to know there's hope in Jesus. And if you get born again, you have a great high priest who will never let you down. You can be thankful to God for that. Again, I want to say at the beginning of the message, our viewership is growing. It is amazing. Everywhere I go, and I was in an establishment, and I want to just give a shout. I already shouted once out to heaven, to my mom this morning, saying, God bless you, Mom, I love you, and I want to give a shout to some viewers that I met yesterday in a waiting room. And they overheard, Deb and I were in there, and they overheard us witnessing, and they recognized, hey, that's the preacher we saw on live stream last week. And I said, man, I just lost her name, the Rices. So I want to tell you hi. And all the other new viewers as well. We're glad that you're listening, glad you're watching. And they told me they love to hear Bible preaching. They go to another church, but they love to hear Bible preaching. You're welcome. We love to have you tune in and enjoy it very, very much. And I believe they're genuinely born again. But now listen, if you're in Christ, you got to know this. You're not alone in this world. We're going to look at some passages in the book of Hebrews, one specifically in chapter 4, but we'll not get there first. First go to Hebrews and chapter 1. And if I can tell you this again, best way I know how, I'm telling you this. Jesus is all I ever dreamed and more. If I could explain to you how good my God is, how good Jesus is, I mean reality, how good he is, how rich he is, man, you'd come running to Christ. If you're someone that has doubts concerning their salvation, you'd make sure you get born again, because you don't want to miss God's heaven. You certainly don't want to go to the devil's hell. If I could somehow explain to you, and I can't, there's no one to compare him with. That's like trying to preach on heaven like I did last week. What do we compare that with? There's nothing to compare with. There's nobody like Jesus. You understand, he's the only begotten Son of God. And he so loves the world that he came to this earth and he died on the cross and he took my place and yours. And he certainly didn't have to do that. After you get born again, after you get saved, there's nobody like Jesus as far as living a life of fulfillment. Man, don't go out there and try to sow your wild oats. You're a fool. You're running away from the one who has given you everything. Man, please understand, don't be like the dog that Peter describes returning to his vomit. Don't go there, not as a child of God. That's not the way the child of God ought to live. And if you're unsaved and you need Christ as your Savior, what I'm telling you about Jesus is real. It's reality. Man, he is our great high priest. Little background here for the book of Hebrews. The writer, we know the author's God. This is part of the canon. This is written by inspiration. We are not told who the writer is, the human instrument that God used. Many believe it's the Apostle Paul. I'm of that school. Some believe it's Apollos or someone of like manner. There's a theme in this book. It's after you get born again. He's writing to New Testament, first century Hebrew Christians. That's why it's called the book of Hebrews. He's writing to Hebrew Christians and he's telling them, and the pull is there. It's so big, the pull to go back to Old Testament, pre-Calvary, Old Testament Judaism, and to go back and practice some of that ritual because that kind of makes man feel like they're doing something and feel good. But Jesus fulfilled the law. And the writer of Hebrews, by way of inspiration, is telling these first century Hebrew Christians, don't go back. Don't go back to the weak and the beggarly things of life. Those things were just foreshadows of that which was to come. His name is Jesus. He has come. The incarnation has taken place. And he went to the cross. The work of the cross is finished. He rose again on the third day and he ascended on up into heaven. We're New Testament Christians. We're born of the Spirit of God. Don't go back to ritualism. Don't go back to empty, cold religion. There's nothing more nauseous than a plate of cold religion. Man, we've got reality in Jesus Christ. The theme is Jesus is better. He's better than the angels. He's better than Moses. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Aaron. The book of Hebrews speaks of the greatness of salvation and therefore the greatness of the Savior. These New Testament Jewish Christians, they were told of the bigness of God in this letter, the exaltation of Jesus Christ, that he did it all. Don't go back and thrive in the New Testament church. Look at Hebrews and chapter 1 and just the first three verses. By the way, this coronavirus, this Corona 19, I've about had it up to here with it. I'm just about done with it. I'm angry about political opportunists that are using it to their advantage. I'm not going to get political in this message. I'm just saying don't be a little lemming. Don't be someone that's going to follow everybody else over the cliff. You need to understand we've got a great high priest. I'm not preaching rebellion here this morning. I'm saying as children of God, we really have nothing to fear. No, and this is about the virus and anything else that comes into your life. Nothing catches God by surprise. Right. Nothing. Nothing ever just occurs to God. When you read Hebrews, and even in the book, the first chapter, which we're not going to read all of the first chapter, we read in the first chapter of the omnipotence of God. He's all powerful. The omniscience of God. He's all knowing. The omnipresence of God. He is everywhere. The immutability of God. He never changes. The mercy of God. It's all here. All these virtues of deity, these characteristics of deity, that's the God that we worship. Verse 1 says, God who at sundry times and in divers manners, Old Testament, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, that's how we used to speak, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son, the Word of God. Jesus, isn't it a wonder, isn't it any wonder that Jesus is referred to in John in chapter 1 and Revelation in chapter 19 as the Word of God. In 1 John, as the Word of God, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Father in heaven, we pray your blessing upon the Word of God. I pray, Jesus, that you'd help, you just, the Holy Spirit would get a hold of every child of God that's listening and encourage them and strengthen their faith And God, I pray that you would, the Holy Spirit would filter out anything I may say that's misleading. I sure don't want that to happen. And God, if there's someone listening, and I know there are, people that aren't sure of their salvation, people that aren't sure they're going to heaven when they die, may they hear of the greatness and the goodness of Jesus Christ and what he did on the cross. And today, when I get to the end of this service, may they pray right along with me. May they receive Christ as their Savior once and for all and know that they're on their way to heaven. And we'll thank you for every victory in Jesus' name. Amen. You that are born again, you that are children of God, let me tell you this. Everything's going to be all right. All things work together for good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You say, Pastor, I don't know. What about tomorrow? I don't care about tomorrow. Everything's going to be all right. Our God is God. He's not a man-made God. And tomorrow isn't going to catch him by surprise. No matter what path God would have us to follow, you follow the path that he leads and everything is going to be all right. Number one, go to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews and chapter 4. There's a lot here I want to preach, but I got to move on. Hebrews chapter 4. And I'll pick up with verse 8. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 8. It says here, for if Jesus had given them rest, then would he not afterward have spoken of another day? There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. This is my story. I hope it's yours. This is my spiritual rags to riches story. This is my story of how a pauper becomes a child of the king. This is the story, my story, that I'm never alone. That he that is with in us is greater than he that is in the world. He says, there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. I can rest in Jesus Christ. And let me just read real quickly verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and open under the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Bible preaching and Bible teaching and Bible living works. The word of God is our guiding light in the world in which we live. I want to encourage everybody that's a child of God. We have the word of God and we have a great high priest. These next several verses, that's my sermon. These next several verses will encourage every child of God that's looking for encouragement this morning. If you'll look to the heavens, if you'll look to the word of God, it's spelled right out for us right here. Verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. That's our Jesus. Our great high priest. Let me read the whole verse. I'm going to come back to it. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, the ascension, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Okay, here it is. Because we have a great high priest, we are encouraged by the writer of Hebrews, by way of the Holy Spirit, every child of God, hold on. Hold on to your profession. Don't let go of the book. Don't turn your back. Don't let go of your faith in God. Because we have a great high priest. Turn over a couple pages to chapter 7 in the book of Hebrews and verse 25. Chapter 7 and verse 25. Wherefore he is able, that's Jesus, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost, the last places. Upper Peninsula is kind of like that place. Last places in time and last places geographically. Wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, by Jesus, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. He's saying, hold on, you got a great high priest who's making intercession on your behalf and on my behalf. At the throne of God, at the very throne of God, God the Son is interceding on your behalf and mine. Look at chapter 9 and verse 24. Chapter 9 and verse 24. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, talking about an earthly temple, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. For us. That's where Jesus is. For us in the presence of God. 1 John 2:1, turn over there. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. Stay with me as best you can if you're at home watching live stream. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1. My little children, these things write I unto you that ye sin not. We're not supposed to sin. We're supposed to sin less and less and less as we grow in grace. And if any man sin, and we do, we have an advocate. an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. We have an advocate. We have somebody on our behalf at the throne of God. The accuser of the brethren, the devil himself, he still has access to the throne of God. But we've got the Son of God in our corner. He has the ear of God the Father, and he is our advocate, and he's making intercession for us. The Bible tells us in 1 Timothy and chapter 2 and verse 5, I got to turn there, 1 Timothy chapter 2, and verse 5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Here Paul is telling Timothy, the pastor at Ephesus, there is one God, amen, Jehovah God, God the Father, and there's one mediator between God and man. There's only one go-between. There's only one advocate. His name is Jesus. That's why the writer of Hebrews refers to him as our great high priest. The Old Testament Jewish high priest, one man, once a year, he'd enter into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies, in either the tabernacle or later on the temple. And he'd go with blood being sprinkled. And he'd go and he'd represent all of mankind, all of those who trusted in Jehovah. And one time, once a year, he entered into the presence of God. He mediated. He was that advocate. He brought the blood to the mercy seat one time. But he was a man. The writer of Hebrews uses him as an illustration. Said he was a man and he had to do it every year, year after year after year. Chapter 10, book of Hebrews. And he'd bring the blood of bulls and the blood of goats. And there was always a shedding of blood. But it had to be done over and over. And not only for the sins of the people, for his own sins. But he was a picture of the Lamb of God, our great high priest, who after Calvary took the blood to the mercy seat in heaven. All of the earthly temple was just a picture of the mercy seat in heaven. And he offered that blood there. And he made propitiation for our sin. He paid for our sin. Our great high priest. You understand what the writer of Hebrews is saying? Because we have a great high priest. His name is Jesus. Hold on. Go back to Hebrews again in chapter 4. Hebrews in chapter 4. There's no mountain too high, no valley too deep, no crisis so big, except Jesus is the answer. Amen. Every time. Amen. Every time. Say, Pastor, you don't know what. Every time. Read again what Hebrews is saying, what the writer of Hebrews is saying. I'll read the first verse, one or verse 14 one more time. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, that's where he's at, interceding. Our advocate, mediating, names who he is, Jesus, the Son of God. I would say the only begotten Son of God. Let us hold fast our profession. Don't go back. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'd say this. He understands. We have a high priest that understands what it's like to be you. He knows Tim Rader better than Tim Rader knows himself. Jesus, this is the miracle of the incarnation. Jesus, the Son of God, took on the robe of flesh. He took on the form of man. And there's a great theological word, Greek word, kenosis. And what it simply means is Jesus gave up the exercise of some of his divine attributes so that he would suffer temptation, he would suffer hunger, he would suffer heartache, he would suffer disappointment, he would suffer headaches, he would suffer everything that you and I suffer, and yet he did it without sin. That's what the Word of God teaches. Kenosis means he gave up not the attributes. He never ceased to be God. He never ceased to be holy. He never ceased to be omnipresent. He never ceased to be omnipotent or omniscient. He never ceased any of those things, but he gave up the exercise. He's like he set it aside. He said, okay, now I'm taking on flesh. He never ceased to be God, but he was 100% man as well. He's our great high priest. He not only is God, he knows what we are. He absolutely understands every heartache, every fear you have ever known. He's our great high priest. He understands. This week, allow me to be personal. This week, when I was down in my septic tank outside the parsonage, down in it fixing a pipe. What a blessed time that was. Just bless my heart being down in that septic tank. I had it all drained out, had it all emptied out, you know, and had to get down in that tank. Bless God. Here's the blessing. It's fixed now, man. It's done. I hope it's done until I go home to heaven and I never have to go down in that nasty thing again. But God understands. He came down to the septic tank of this world. He knows. So hold fast. He is our great high priest. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. I'm telling you, he understands. He knows. He knows what they're going through right now. Here's what every godly New Testament pastor is experiencing all over America, and especially here in Michigan right now. I am concerned about the members of our flock that are not concerned about missing church. I'm concerned about the members of our flock, and I know that's not, even if it's one, I'm concerned of those who think, hey, this live stream is okay, I no longer need God. Oh man, I'm so concerned about that. Because live stream is not what, that's just a distant second. It's a good thing, but it's not like assembling, like the word ecclesia means. It's not the same. But God understands. He understands the hearts of his under shepherds too. And you know what? He's even more concerned than I am. I know that for a fact. We have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. He's been there. You say, oh, you don't know how weak I am, Pastor. Oh, God, you don't understand. He's been there. He knows. He wore flesh. He understands what it is to be tempted of the flesh and tempted of the evil one. Remember Matthew chapter 4? He was tempted directly by Lucifer, by Satan himself. He understands what it is to be tempted. And that's why he had Paul write to the church of Corinth, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. And God is faithful. And he will with that temptation also make a way for you to escape. Amen. We have a great high priest. He's walked in my shoes even before I was born. He knows, because he's omniscient, everything that I experience, every fear, every thought that I battle with. He understands all of that. Therefore, hold fast to the profession that you have, the gospel, the grace of Jesus Christ and what he has done for us. He has been there. And I would tell you, before I get off of this point, and I'm starting to draw this message to a close, but not quite yet. The devil is not your friend. And he wants to destroy you. And he seeks to sift you out like wheat. And for some, you've probably had more time than you've had in a long time. And others are even busier than they have ever been. It's a little bit different for all of us. And somebody, somehow, you were tempted this week. I want to say it so in words you understand. By the devil and the flesh, you are being set up. You are being set up. Maybe your temptation's money. Maybe you've been tempted to steal from the boss. Maybe temptation has come in the form of a temptress and she's batted her eyelashes a little bit, or the other direction. Maybe, I don't know what your temptation is, but you are being set up by the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus has been there. He knows what it is to be tempted, yet without sin. He's our great high priest. He did it all. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. I got to start to close this right now. Hebrews in chapter 10. Verses 10 through 12. 10 and 11 and 12. By the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He didn't have to have another Calvary. There didn't have to be another resurrection. There didn't have to be another Pentecost. Jesus went to the cross once for all. And one drop of his blood is enough to cleanse the world, 1,000 worlds of sin like we've got here in this world. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, Jesus, after he offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God. He did it all. You need to understand that. He did it all. Jesus at Calvary. Jesus at the cross where he shed his blood. He provided salvation for all of mankind, for every generation. All they need to do is come by way of the cross. Come by way of Jesus and they too can be born again. And listen, God is still about building his church in the day and age in which we live. This is the church age. And the old ship Zion is going to make it home to heaven. Don't bail out on the ship. Man, don't turn your back on God. You've heard me say this before. The ships may be torn, the hull may be battered, but we're going to sail safely into heaven's harbor. There's no way. The church is God's church. Don't get messed up in the world. Don't like a rat desert the ship because you're in a storm. That's a mistake. Don't go there. He understands. He's our great high priest. He's been there. He's our great high priest. He did all the work. He's our great high priest. And he invites us. Look at verse 16. Verse 16. In Hebrews in chapter 4. Let us therefore, because he's our great high priest, because he understands, because he's been there, he never sinned. He was the perfect Lamb of God, went to the cross, died in our place, rose again on the third day, ascended on up into heaven. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. Boy, it'd take a lot of boldness for a sinner man to approach the throne of grace. The throne speaks of reverence, not a big buddy. God, Jehovah, holiness. The same one when Isaiah saw in a vision, said, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips and ate dirt. The throne of grace, what right have I got to go there? And yet Jesus said, come boldly. You know what my right is? The righteousness of Christ. The righteousness of the only begotten Son of God. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy, not get what we deserve, and find grace, get what we don't deserve, to help in time of need. Real help in the time of crisis is found at the throne of grace. You can only approach that throne by way of the great high priest, our mediator, our advocate, our go-between, our intercessor. His name is Jesus. He paid the price for our sins. And because he paid the price for our sins, I experience grace and I experience mercy. And I'm told by the writer of Hebrews, sinner man, you can approach the throne of grace because we have a great high priest intercessing on our behalf. In closing, I know I already said that once, but I want to give an invitation to those that aren't born again. Now, if you're saved and you're not right with God, get right with God. If you're born again, you're saved, you're redeemed, and if you're drifting in just the littlest bit, man, you come boldly to the throne of grace. You'll find help there in the time of need. If you're not saved, you can't approach that throne. I'll tell you how you can. John chapter 3, go there very quickly. John in chapter 3, say, oh, I know that. John 3:16. I know you do. Maybe you don't know the next verse, though. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That's what the writer of Hebrews is preaching. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Probably 25 of the greatest words ever penned. Salvation is in Christ. You don't have to die. You don't have to go to hell. You can come to the Son of God. He loves the whole world. It says in verse 17, for God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He didn't come to condemn. He came because he's the answer. He's the way out of this messed up thing. He's the way to avoid the fires of hell. He that believeth on him is not condemned. Hallelujah. He that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It is this simple. What do I got to do to go to heaven, preacher? I got to get saved. I need to come to Christ. I need to have a God-conscious moment in my life where I'm serious with God and I confess my sins and receive him as my Savior. Then I'm born again. My name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. Say, preacher, what do I got to do to go to heaven? Nothing. Already going. Verse 18 says it's condemned already. You're already going to hell. You were born a sinner. That's why Jesus came. If you'll call on him this morning, you'll inherit eternal life. It's the righteousness of Christ. Listen, he's inviting you to come to the throne of grace, but you cannot boldly come to the throne of grace except by way of the high priest.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, senior pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.